it's a privilege to be among people who want to pull the word out of ministry. And I tell you, I encourage you, savor, you know, what's been brought to you this week, but also in the local assembly. You take your place. Pull the ministry out of who's been set over you. Read Ephesians 4, and you will find your responsibility to pull the very life that's going to change you into the full stature of Christ out of the ministry. Not only the local pastor, but other ministries that come through. It's so important. It's so important to take your place in the local assembly.
Amen.
Get behind the set man, the set woman. If you're not in this assembly, I'm just telling you, you get behind the set ministry in your assembly. And it will bring you into maturity. And all the things that you hear, don't have a collection of good teachings. Have them effectual in your life, and it'll be effectual if you're operating under the ministry that you're called to be under. He set us in the body as it's pleased Him. I said He set us in the body as it pleased Him. Know your setting, and don't worry if it doesn't please you later on down the road. Get over it and get back with the program. So I appreciate y'all's hospitality. But like I say, most of all, I appreciate being with people who want to pull the word out of ministry. I appreciate y'all.
Amen, brother. Yes, hallelujah, Chris. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Well, glory to God. I would like to show you something tonight that and give you some scripture to prove to you where we are.
Amen.
And what's going on.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
If you turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 12, if you understand the Bible and you know the book of Daniel, is two books in one, just like Revelation. The first six chapters is about Nebuchadnezzar's dreams. The last six chapters about Daniel's dreams. Same thing, Daniel is interpreting. Then when you come to the 12th chapter, it's the last chapter, and I would like to take verse by verse, but time wouldn't permit me. But if you would look at the verse, he talks about Michael standing up for the sons of God. But I want you to look down at verse, we'll read verse 9, and you know 9 is a finalist number. 12's number of divine government. So when you begin to come to the finality, I want you to listen to what God is saying here through the prophet.
And he said, "Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed."
Now I want you to listen. The word is closed. Not only is it closed, it's sealed.
Sealed. Till the time of the end.
Now, when will it be open again?
The time of the end.
Did you realize the Word of God is being so open and giving such revelations today as never before in the history of the world? But now in the meantime, read verse 10.
Many shall be purified and made white.
Many, not everybody, but just many, shall be purified and made white.
And tried.
There has to be a trying.
But the wicked shall do wickedly.
And the wicked is going to get more wickeder.
And none of the wicked shall understand.
And none of them are going to understand.
But the wise shall understand.
But the wise shall understand. The word wise there simply means those that have a revelation and an opening of the Word. Well, when will the Word be opened? Now, if you'll turn to Revelation chapter 10. I'm going to begin with verse 7.
But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel.
Now, when the seventh angel, and there's an important word there, begins.
When he shall begin to sound.
See? When he begins to sound. Have you got that Revelation chapter 10, verse 7?
But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel.
Now he said in the days, plurality, of the voice of the seventh angel.
When he shall begin to sound.
Now when he begins. And the beginning means when he just starts. The mystery of God should, underline it, should be finished, but it's not now.
Amen.
Well, I wanted to break down these words for you. The mystery of God should be finished. All right, now I want to read on now.
As he hath declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, and said, Go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel.
I would like for you to underline, Go and take. You and I, sometimes we want God to do this and give us that. But that's not the way it happens. God is saying here, you go and take. Sounds to me like you're going to have to wrestle a little. You're going to have to do some real positive moving. Take the book. Well, all right. Now read a little more. I want to show you something.
Go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel.
Hey, and how was that book? Open. Now it was sealed. It was closed and sealed in the book of Daniel, chapter 12 and verse 9. God told him to seal it up. And you come into the book of Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, and the fourth chapter, and the four is a world number, and in that fourth chapter, he talks about the sun, S-U-N, of rising with healing in his wings. He closes it out with, he's going to send Elijah. And Elijah's going to turn the hearts of the children to the fathers, and the fathers to the children.
Amen.
Well, glory. Now, it's so much in here, be hard to take. You know, the Apostle Paul said, God has set us apostles last. He has made a spectacle out of us, or a theater, that we are being viewed by three different worlds. And, but Jesus has also said, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first.
Hallelujah.
In the 11th chapter of the book of Isaiah and the 11th verse, God said, I'm going to set my hand again the second time, which meant I'm going to make what I have put last turn it over and bring them into the forefront, which is the apostolic ministry. Now he's telling us in Revelation that the book is open. And when is it going to be open? In the voice of the seventh angel when he begins to sound.
Hallelujah.
Well, he said the mystery should be finished then, but it is not. Now, when you come over to the 11th chapter of Revelation and read with me the 15th verse.
And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven.
Now, when he sounded, that meant it's over now. Well, glory. And then what did he say? Great voices in heaven was heard,
saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord.
Now, what is he working toward? He's working toward the kingdoms of this world becoming the kingdom of our Lord. Now, and of his Christ. Not only is the kingdom of God being established, but it also is bringing about the kingdom of God and his Christ, or his anointed. And the anointed is what's going to rule and reign with God for eternity.
Hallelujah.
Well, hallelujah. And this is what's going to open up the book.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Well, praise his name. Let's read some more in this 11th chapter.
And he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God.
There's going to be a real spirit of worship. Now, worship is not your singing. Singing is praise. Preliminaries is not worship.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
But worship, and the word worship, you break it down, you find the root meaning. It simply means worship. What is he worth to you? Now, some folks, he's just worth a tenth. I don't want to shake your bush too much, but there's three tithing mentioned in the Bible, and that's at least 30% of what you make. The first tithe belongs to God. That's his. It's not yours to start with. When you give that, you ain't give anything. You've just paid rent on your dwelling place. Well, what are you going to do with the 90% that's left? You have to pay tithes on that. And then he is commissioned that you to pay tithes on the feast of the Lord. Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacle. And putting them all three together, there's seven feasts of the Lord in those three. I can't break down all of these truths that's in these feasts, but I want you to look at something. Now, if you'll turn to the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation, that's divine government again. That's when the man-child is going to be brought forth. And I want us to go down, I think, to about verse 10 in that chapter.
And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength.
Now, well, when is it come? When the Word of God is opened up, hallelujah, and when God's purpose has been finalized, and the finalization there is a manifestation of the sons of God, and he has to go back to Romans chapter 1 and verse 4 to find out the qualification of the sons of God and what's going to bring them about. Declared to be the Son of God. Listen to what it said. Romans 1 and 4. First of all, declared, certified, hallelujah.
And declared to be the Son of God with power.
With power. Oh, glory. And the Spirit of holiness.
According to the Spirit of holiness.
By the resurrection.
From the dead.
And that is getting out of the deadness that you're in. And the only way you're going to do that is by the resurrection. Now, the seventh angel has sounded. The mystery of God is finished. The book of God is open. And when it begins to be open, the wicked shall do more wickedly. And you know the world's getting worse and worse. And you should know you're getting better and better. And you should know that you're becoming more and more like the Lord Jesus, because you're becoming more and more into that out resurrection. Of course, you're not perfect yet. Of course, you have faults and failures. You may not know that, but if you would look close in the mirror, you would see some.
Yes.
Well, praise God. But I'm trying to show you we're living in that end time, that any moment there could be a manifestation of the sons of God and the glory of God filling the whole universe. Amen. It does not mean everybody's going to be saved. If you turn over in the book of Malachi, you'll find where that ye shall walk upon the ashes of the wicked. God is about to destroy the wicked. And they are doing worse and worse. How many of you understand? God cannot bless some of you because you would get so big-headed and so independent, you wouldn't even come to church. You'd get you a new automobile and go to the lake or go to the mountains or go somewhere and just relax and vacation, and you'd forget God. But when things get tough, you begin to pray and remember God.
Amen.
It's a shame that you're like that, and I shouldn't say you, but it's a shame that we all have that tendency.
Amen.
God cannot bless you the way He desires to bless you, because you're not established enough in God that, well, you show it. Because you're not on time at the house of God. You're not there early enough to pray. God cannot trust people that are not faithful. You must be faithful to God. Now in this 12th chapter of Revelation, he's telling you there that God is bringing about a manifestation of the sons of God, and I want you to understand that there's no gender of male or female in God.
Amen.
That we are all one in the Spirit.
Amen.
Now, you may not agree to that, but that is what the Word of God says. We're talking about spiritual now. One man told me one time, he said, "I don't agree with you preaching." I said, "Well, that's your prerogative. You can do what you please." But he said, "You said there's no difference in male and female." And he said, "Well, why did you marry a woman for?" I said, "If you want me to explain the birds and the bees, come over and I'll be glad to do it." I did not marry in the spirit. I married in the flesh. And thank God that the Lord could bring the flesh into agreement with the spirit. And then Paul said, if you're not in agreement, he wouldn't even answer your prayers. That's the reason so many Christians have to get divorced. Well, I don't believe in divorce. I want you to know God is a God that controls everything. He told Hosea, go marry a whore. And she run off and left him. He said, you redeem her. He had to buy her back. He was showing the world, hallelujah, that you run off and left him and you committed whoredom and now he's bought you back by the cross. Yes, glory to God, hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
And not only that, but the two sons that Gomer bore Hosea, neighbor, read your Bible, study the names and study the definitions of all these names in the Bible, you'll find some knowledge that you never had had before. Brother, God is a God. Hallelujah. He said, I want you to go to Beulah land. That is the land of marriage. Well, all right. Let's go back to the 12th chapter of Revelation and just listen just a little bit to what God is saying.
Now has come salvation and strength.
And now, when will it come?
Now.
I bet, yeah, but what's going to bring on the now? Is whenever the kingdoms of this comes, the kingdom of our Lord and of His. The kingdom, somebody king of the world, they'll never be saved. What we're talking is what kingdom is in you.
Yes.
Can you bring the world that's in you under subjection to the kingdom of God?
Hallelujah.
Now, I don't want to go into all of these kingdoms, but you've got a lot of things that's not under subjection to God. We start with your mind. And the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Amen. Now, how many of you understand Christ or Jesus was made flesh? He stripped himself of all deity. Everything he did by faith. Well, and he was tempted in every point as you and I, and yet without sin. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Then he had to overcome the kingdoms of the flesh. All right. Now, I'm not going to go to meddling and preach an old-time holiness sermon to you. But I just want you to know something, that your mind is the playground of the devil. Now, don't tell me it's not. No one of you in the house tonight says everything you think. Now, why don't you? Why, your wife would be standing there with a ball bat. Hello. Neither do you buy everything you see. Well, some of us don't. How many of you are getting the point that I'm trying to show you? Your mind running wild. That's the reason you need to bring it under subjection. Well, your children can get anything out of you that they want. They don't have to learn psychology. They're born with it. Well, and then, if you think that's big, wait till grandchildren come along. And brother, that's the reason they called them grand. And by the time they get grown, great-grandchildren come, you've got a little bit more sense.
Hallelujah.
Oh, my. Not much. I said a little more.
Amen.
Well, hallelujah. And when great-grandchildren come along, you're a little bit wiser. The old Southern expression, a tad. Some of you are looking a little bit sour on me tonight, but how many? I'm telling you the truth now. I'm honest. I'm not belittling you and I'm not condemning you, but you go out of your way. I know. I've been there. I've been delivered from it. Well, at times. At times. Brother Graham sitting over there laughing. He hasn't experienced that yet. It's in the future. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm talking about bringing the kingdoms of this world under subjection. And I'm not talking about the parliament or of England or the government of the United States. I'm talking about that world that's in you. And the kingdoms of the world that is in you individually. Well, hallelujah. And it's time that you begin to nip some of these things in the bud. John the Baptist come preaching, the axe is laid to the root. And it's time that you begin to cut the tap root where you wouldn't. Well, now Brother Ron Cody's got a book on that. Why in the hell am I in debt? It's because your mind has not brought you under subjection. And you've allowed other things to entice you, and you need to cut it out. And then, well, I'll get on in a little bit, not much, but your appetite. has run out of proportion. And the majority of us are showing it. But there's going to be an hour and a time, and it's right upon us, that these things are going to be under submission unto the Lord and His Christ, and the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of the Lord. Yeah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
And then we're going to know how to really praise and worship the Lord. Praise God. And the time is approaching. The book is being opened. And you and I are learning more about what God, His intent is. And His intent is that He would have a kingdom of people that would fellowship Him.
Amen.
Well, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. In Corinthians 1. See, I'm talking your English. Chapter 1 and verse 9.
God is faithful. By whom?
Would you just... God is. He's not going to be. He is faithful. Well, glory. How many of you can say, that's true?
Yes, that's true.
God is faithful. Now, why?
By whom ye were called unto the fellowship.
By whom ye are, in our English, in whom you present are called
unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Now, He has called you for one purpose, and that's to walk in fellowship with His Son, Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
Well, we've got preachers today that's got bodyguards, and you can't get nowhere near them. And yet they're big shots and they're high and mighty. They're full of the world. I wouldn't say what I really was thinking. They're just full of the devil. Because the devil is in objection to God. And God is faithful. And God has called you to what? Walk with His Son. I can give you an illustration. The White House in Washington, D.C. There's three dimensions of it. There's three dimensions in God. In the White House, the first section is open for tourists to walk and go around. The second section is where all of the reporters can come, and the president comes out, or the president's spokesman comes out and talks to the press. That's the second level. The third level, you cannot get in without the third level, you can't get in without an invitation. That's where they live. Now, how many of you want to come into the third dimension of God where He lives?
Yes, sir.
And that is the holiest of holies.
Oh, Lord, yes.
And you have an invitation to come into that. But you cannot come into that without the blood. My Father. And that blood cannot be from any animal that have a blemish. You and I have got to learn that God is demanding something from us. And you're going to have to pay the total price to get to where God is living. I want to be in His presence all the time. Oh, glory to God. That's the reason I've been in the 91st Psalm for a number of days and weeks. He that dwelleth, that simply meant he that sitteth in a quiet place. Hallelujah. He that dwelleth in the secret place. Oh, neighbor, that secret place is where God is intimate with you. Then he goes on to say, oh, hallelujah, in the presence of the Most High. The Most High is El Elyon. Glory be to God. I want to live in His presence. That is the plurality of God. God complete. And there's four names there in the first two verses of 91st Psalm. El Elyon. Then he said, the Lord. That's Jehovah. Well, praise God. Whenever you begin to look at that, these two verses now, you've got the Most High, you've got the Lord. Well, the Almighty is before the Lord. Almighty is El Shaddai. And then the Lord is Jehovah. And then God is Elohim. Maybe, I'm telling you now, there is more in the Word of God than you can ever even think about getting out when you begin to break down these words. Look at the word Jehovah in the Hebrew. The first three letters is Y-E-H. The next one is O-H. The next one is H-A. Now, if you break that down, you've got past, present, and future. Glory to God. And when you begin to read in the book of Revelation, you find He was, is, and is to come. Then you read in the book of chapter 1 of Revelation about the seven Spirit of God. That goes right back to Genesis 1 when God took 7 days to make all the creation. And whenever you start the first day, God said, let there be light. He divided light from darkness, called the light day and the darkness night. He separated. Apostle Paul said, ye are children of the day. You've got nothing to do with the night because the moon rules the night. The sun rules the day. And the moon controls the tidal waves and the water arising and all of that. Glory to God. And what do you realize it or not? You was conceived and formed in water. That's the reason God said His Spirit moved upon the face of the water. Your face was seen. My face was seen. And then God began to direct which dispensation we would be manifested in. And I'm glad He chose the 21st century. Thank God at the end of the time
when the seventh angel would begin to blow, glory to God, and the books would be opened, and you and I could have a revelation of God and be able to be partakers in the manifestation of the sons of God on the earth in the end time. Well, praise God. We are living in that greatest day, I believe, that ever was. You ought to begin to rejoice and you should shout because God has chosen you for this hour. Now, in the meantime, wicked people will begin to get wickeder. And the book will be closed to the majority of people. But they that will have a revelation, the book is being opened. And God is bringing about, oh hallelujah, the kingdoms of this world being subdued and brought under subjection. Praise God, and the kingdom shall be the Lord and His Christ, His anointing. Neighbor, it's time that you and I began to move out into the glory of God and have in our possession what God said was ours. Nothing belongs to the devil. He's a stealer. He come to steal and to kill. And brother, Jesus come to bring life and life more abundantly. If you look that word up, you'll find where it means you will have the abundance of everything. And there's a long time before I realized that. But I want to tell you now, how can you come into it? Glory to God. Give yourself out of poverty. Give yourself out of indebtedness. Give yourself, well, hallelujah. And don't just start with a 10%. Start with a 30%. And then move up, praise God. And come on up. Come on, I'm moving on up. Hallelujah. I'm moving on up. I'm getting off of that floor, first floor, second floor. I'm coming on up to the abode place of God. I'm going to live in His presence. I'm going to walk in His presence. I'm going to have everything God said was mine. I'm not going to allow the devil to steal any more from me. Well, glory to God. I want to challenge you tonight. I want to challenge you tonight. It's in your court. But you're going to have to make up your mind. Oh, glory. How many of you want to move on up? I'm serious now. You want to move on up. There's a lot of folks that's drawing, oh, hallelujah, a halt to moving in the spirit realm. But neighbor, it don't hinge upon, oh, hallelujah. God is raising up a people that's going to fall in love with Him. And they're going on up. Oh, hallelujah. I enjoy, and God gave me a revelation on ever verse in the Song of Solomon. One time as I was seeking the Lord, and it starts off, you know, about my beloved is mine, and then he begins to explain, and he wines and dines her. And you know what? Now, don't take offense of what I'm going to say. But he wines and dines her till he gets her in the bed. And when he gets her in the bed chamber, he ain't even there. He comes and he knocks at the door. She don't answer. And he runs his hand in the hole of the door. And she said, when I saw his hand, my bowels was moved within me.
And what is she saying? She's saying, I had a moving within me. I had a revival within me. But she first was making excuses. I've washed my feet. I've pulled my coat off. How shall I defile my feet? Praise God. Now, if you want me to break that down, she's pulled her holiness off. She's pulled her coat off, her covering off. She's washed the anointing off of her feet. Because the Bible said in Jacob prophesying to his sons, he said, blessed be Asher. He shall beget children. He shall dip his foot in oil. That means his feet's going to be anointed. And his shoes shall be of iron and brass. I don't know. You don't know what he's talking about. But see, I was raised in an era that we didn't get but one pair of shoes a year. And the women, oh my God, they got 40 or 50 pairs. And they're always looking for another pair. Well, praise God. Pardon my fleshly remarks, but it's the truth. But I remember the old brass-toed shoes. Now they put metal in them and cover them with leather, but when I was talking about, they had the brass was showing. Because we boys, my Lord, we would kick rocks. We'd scuff up the shoes, but that brass toe, the more you skint that, the brighter it shines. Hallelujah. You don't have to stand and polish it. You know, that's what Rehoboam done when Solomon died. Rehoboam, you know, he took the golden shields and made him brass shields that looked like gold, but he had to have a whole host of folks to polish them. Keep shining. My God, today, church folks had to be rubbed and polished and shined. And you know why? They're not real. Oh, that's another sermon. But it's the word. It's the fact. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We need to understand. Glory. When you get your foot anointed, you can wear the shoes and be shod for the road. And you can't do that without the Holy Ghost. And if you're going to move up higher, glory to God, you're going to have to start on ground one, and you're going to have to come on up like God said, I'm moving on up. And I'm not talking about the Jeffersons now. I'm talking about moving on up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Higher. Higher. Hallelujah. We're moving on up.
Glory.
We're getting out.
Yes,
oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. And we're bringing down the kingdoms of this world. Hallelujah. And they're falling. Have my God. How many of you can say, I'm moving on up. I'm moving up unto the place that God, hallelujah, has me. I believe this is the hour that God wants you to move on up. Get on higher ground. Hallelujah. Don't be like the man that was on top of his house when the flood come. The boat come and said, come on down. He said, no, I'm waiting on the Lord.
The helicopter come and said, come on. He said, I'm waiting on the Lord. He drowned. Went up to St. Peter's. St. Peter said, why didn't you let people save you? I was waiting on the Lord. He said, well, he sent a boat. He sent a helicopter. But you see, people are so blind. They're waiting on God. And God's waiting on you to bring this mind under subjection. Quit thinking like you think in glory and think like He thinks. And He thinks, oh, glory to God. In fact, He come to give you life more abundantly. What do you call life? Struggling? Not knowing what you're going to do? That's not living. You just existing. I'm tired of existing. I'm moving on up. Praise God. I'm going to move into the dwelling places of our God. And the Bible said, he that dwelleth in the presence of the Lord, glory to God, he's going to make rich and add no sorrow. Amen. And you can have life and joy and peace evermore. Glory to God. Don't care. You can rejoice in the midst of the devil. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter. You can still rejoice. There will be people that will try to kill you, try to hinder you, try to keep you. But neighbor, God is moving in our lives. God is bringing about a glorious moving of the Holy Spirit, and He's waiting on you to move into what He said was yours.
Amen.
How many of you want to move in?
Yes,
you want to live in what God has promised you.
Yes,
and He certainly has not taken away the promises.
Amen.
They're still just as great.
I
believe they're getting greater. I said, I believe they're getting bigger. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I just wished I hadn't have been so stubborn and so slow to find out what God is doing in this end time. Oh, I know people. Well, I can name people that's in this category. They're afraid to spend any money. They get nervous if their bank account gets a little bit low. Well, I don't know what we're going to do. I can tell you. Move on up. But I'm saving for the old age. My God, then when you get old, you ain't got no teeth to chew steak. You ain't got no eyes to. You ain't got no eyes for beauty. And you can't go dancing while you're on a walking stick. And what are you saving for? The good old days. Could God, enjoy life while you've got it. Enjoy life while you've got it. Hallelujah. I never will forget when I was a little boy. My dad worked at a sawmill, and he was a hard-working fella. But I'd hear him coming around the curves over there in the mountains, and he'd be singing, the sun's going to shine in my back door someday. You know, my dad died in a car wreck without ever seeing the sun shine in his back door. But that don't mean that I am. I was in a revival when they brought me word that he was killed. And I went to the house and nobody was there. I was there by myself.
But I looked around that house and I saw a whole lot of memories of them. And I said then, right then, I said, God, I'm going to see the sun shine in my back door. I'm going to enjoy life. Well, hallelujah. I tell you, saints, I want you to begin to enjoy life. Don't sit around here. Well, hallelujah. Don't let your children, don't let your grandchildren, don't let your great-grandchildren hinder you from having joy in your life. They'll drain you dry and keep you in that kind of a condition. It's not that you don't love them, but they've got to learn some responsibility somewhere down the road. And I don't know a better time to start right now. Thank you, Bob. But it's the truth. I remember when my daughter was about 16, she come, said, I'm going to leave home. I said, well, I'll help you pack. My wife was screaming and crying. And I said, well, I'll help you pack. And I went and got the suitcase out. Opened the dresser drawer. I said, now, what do you want to take? And she said, oh, you don't love me. I said, it's you that wants to leave home. But I said, if you go out that door, you ain't coming back. Well, then the next venture she got on was, I'm going to kill myself. I'm going to commit suicide. I said, well, honey, how do you want to do it? I got some razor blades. I'll load the gun for you. How do you want to do it?
Oh, my God.
That's the reason folks don't think I care about folks. But let me tell you something. I've learned how to deal with individuals. If you want to do something, go ahead and do it.
Amen.
Of course, my wife was just walking the floor screaming. She's going to kill herself. I said, let her go. Then when she saw that I was laying out everything for her, I ain't going to do that. You don't love me. I said, it's you that wants to die. It's not me.
Amen.
Neighbor, listen. Amen. Folks will do anything to get you to agree with him.
Yeah.
And if they know you're not going to agree with them,
yeah,
they'll change their tune.
That's right. That's the
truth.
Hello. Amen. Thank you, brother. Hallelujah.
And children don't have to learn psychology. They're born with it. Hallelujah. Well, children can't get what they want from the parents, they'll go to the grandparents. You can't get it from the grandparents, they go to the great grandparents. They're going to get it somewhere or another. Oh, but I love them. Well, sure you do. I love mine. But they ain't going to let them send me to the poorhouse. Well, they don't have no poorhouse no more, but that was it used to be. I think now they'll put you on Medicaid or welfare or something. Well, glory to God. How many of you know God is doing a work in this hour He's never done before? He's raising up a people that's going to know how to deal with every problem. Hallelujah! And they're going to turn it over to God. And God is going to see that everything works out all right. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah.
You're going to be able. Oh, glory to God.
That's
Hallelujah. If you need something, you're going to go get it. And you're not going to sign a contract for 30 years to pay for it. Well, glory. See, when God tells you He's going to give you something, if you'll have patience and wait on it, He'll give it to you without payments. Now, if you can't wait, you ain't got no payment, you go ahead and take the payments then. Hello. You can have anything you want. How many of you know that? You can have anything you want, but you have to take what goes with it. And if you've got patient enough to wait on God, He'll give it to you.
Amen.
And you won't have no payments.
Yes, sir.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know God had to deliver me from an old prestigious spirit. I had to have a Cadillac every year, swapped every year for a new Cadillac. For 12 years I'd done that. And the Lord had to deliver me from that. And He delivered me from a Cadillac to a Mercury. And from a Mercury down to a Ford. And you know what I always told people? I said, you know why these preachers are driving Chevrolets and Fords? Oh, no, no. Why? Keeps the devil shook out of them. And now, in this hour, I'm driving a Ford, so I need the devil shook out of me. Neighbor, listen to me. God is not interested in what you wear and what you drive. Oh, glory to God. God is looking for people that would move on up into the dwelling place of Him, into the presence of the Lord, and learn how to live there. Glory, 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 glory. Somebody told me one day, he said, well, the veil has been rent. I said, that's true. And it has. But preachers today are duct taping it back together so they'll have something to do. And something to preach. They'll duct taping the veil. But you see, it's been rent. And God's standing there. Well, hallelujah. And He's giving you a welcome to come on in, but you can't take no ministry in there. You can't take no title in there. You can't take nothing. Oh, hallelujah. But 100% love for Him. Then He'll let you come in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when you move into the holy place, into the dwelling place of God, you'll never want to move out without Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! I'll tell you, you need to get in love with Him and love Him so much, you're not going to leave me. Listen to what the Shunammite said. I love this. Whenever she saw the hand of the Lord, when you see the fivefold ministry in the right relationship, she went out, opened the door, but He wasn't there. The first thing she does was, she saw the daughters of Jerusalem, that is the church members. She said, have you saw my beloved? They said, no. Well, they haven't. Well, if you see him, tell him I'm sick of love. Don't you tell him they're beating me. Don't you tell him they're persecuting me. You just tell him I'm sick of love.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! But the majority of folks, let me tell you, what's happening? I want to tell you how they're treating me. I want to tell you the lies they're telling on me. Tell you how they're persecuting me. You've never saw the hand of God. Hello? Because if you do, you're going to say, if you do find Him, tell Him I'm sick of love. Then the watchman was on the wall. That's the overseer that's over you. She said, "Have you saw my beloved?" No. He slapped her. He bruised her. She went on, and then she saw the keeper of the gate. That's the general overseer. That's the one that turns you in, turns you out. And she said to him, "Have you saw my beloved?" And you know what he said? "What is your beloved above other beloveds?" Oh, I'm glad you asked that. If I had 10,000 like you, he'd be the fairest one among you. Glory to God. I tell you, you ought to be shouting because, whoo, if you found the fairest one among 10,000, neighbor, it doesn't matter. God isn't this God. He wants you, neighbor, to live in the abundance. And it's the end time. It's the time that He's opening of the Word, and you're getting a revelation that you know how to live, hallelujah, in this wicked now and now. Well, hallelujah. How many of you understand what I'm preaching tonight? Are you seeing the Word of God? I'm giving you the Word tonight, but I'm showing you that you can apply it to your own individual life.
Amen. Amen.
You don't have to wait for tomorrow. You can take it home with you tonight.
Amen. Amen.
I wish I could sing. I'd sing that song. I'm moving on up. Hallelujah. I used to get happy every time I'd turn on the Jeffersons and they'd go to singing that, "I'm moving on up. I'm moving on up." But see, they meant it one way. I knew it another way. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm moving on up myself. I'm going to come into that abode place of God, and where I lay down at night, I sleep in the presence of God. I get up in the presence of God. I go to eat breakfast in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Neighbor, I just tell you the truth, or stay excited all the time. How many of you? You're excited all the time. You don't just wait to come to church shout. Sometimes I dance around. Oh, glory to God. In the house. I go into the study, I open the book, and I just rejoice. Praise God. Now you can get these DVD players and put on I put on a teaching tape, and sometimes I love to go out. My favorite place is out on the front porch in the swing. Now, it's enclosed, and I got a heater there, and there's an air conditioner there, and it's comfortable any time of weather. And I've got a swing, and I get into that, and that swing's got a padded seat. Oh, he said, "Well, you got everything." Everything I need. If I want something, I go get it. Or I'll ring a bell or holler for my wife to bring me something to drink or something to eat. Oh, glory to God. And sometimes she says, "Well, am I your waiter?" I said, "What do you think I'm mad you for? To take care of me." Oh, You men ought to shout. You know I'm telling you the truth. When my wife, last wife, died, I buried, you know, two wives. I think it was again two wives I buried. Some people said, the one I married now, fellow asked me, said, well, how old is he? I said, gee, she's 25, 26 years younger than I am. What? I said, man, you know I'm not going to marry somebody that's done wore out. They had to have some strength to wait on me. Hello. My Father, God wants you to live.
Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Listen, you might as well get your mindset on enjoying life. Hallelujah. I told somebody, Brother Bob and him, I was talking, I said, well, if this wife dies, I'm through. And you know what they said? You are not. You'll marry again. Well, I don't know. I'm a type of person that don't like to be alone. I like folks to be around me. Well, some folks. Brother Andrew, that's right. You don't want to be around. I ain't hanging around grumpy and grouchy individuals and sour-looking folk. I just ain't going to do it.
Oh, man.
Hallelujah. People, they ain't going to understand you no way. They ain't going to. My children don't understand me. That don't make it no difference to me. Oh, I love them. But I know I get on their nerves. And they get on my nerves.
Amen. Hallelujah.
But people have got such stupid ideas. They think, well, if you're a Christian, you have to love everybody. Well, you do, and you don't. I love everybody, but I sure don't like their ways. Hello? Now, am I any different from you? Oh, hallelujah. You've got to be real. There ain't a one of you that don't get mad. If you say you don't, you're lying. And all liars will have their part in the lake. So you've got to learn to be truthful. And be truthful if it hurts you. Be truthful. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, I've always been truthful. If I owed somebody some money and I told them I'd pay them that time, if something happened and I couldn't, I always would go to them. I'd be truthful. I'm going to be there on time and tell them. I remember one time I was living in a rented house and I was running a revival down in Gastonia, North Carolina. And they wouldn't give me no money. My rent was due. And I didn't have no car. So I went to the bus station to catch a bus to go to Shelby, North Carolina. I was sitting there waiting on the bus, and a man would come running in. I was afraid I'd miss you. He said, here, the Lord sent me here to give you this money. He gave me a $20 bill. But my rent wasn't but $27, and I was going to tell him, I'm talking about years ago now. I got on the bus, and a beautiful colored lady come dancing down the aisle and said, aren't you Parson McCurry? I said, yeah. Preacher? Well, I ain't going to be at my church this week, and I want to give you an offering. So she gave me an offering. And the lady sitting across the aisle from me said, I want to help you too. I want to give you an offering too. Well, the landlord was right across from the bus station. I got off of the bus. I counted my money, and I had $27.50. Just exactly what the rent would be. And I go over there feeling so great. And the landlord said, where are you preaching at, preacher? I said, down Gastonia. Well, I said, how are you going to get back down there? Well, I said, I'm going to walk and hitchhike. It's the only way I know. Oh, he said, no, you ain't here. I'm going to give you this money, get you a ticket, go back. My God is so great. If you are honest, God will move heaven and earth to see that your needs are met. Neighbor, listen. Learn to be honest. Learn to trust God. Well, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Faithfulness and honesty is two values you'll never, never, never see the end of. Well, praise the Lord. It's the end time. And you want to, how many of you want to be blessed? Okay? Then you're going to have to do what God has told you to do. Take. Take. How many of you understand what I'm saying? You're going to have to take what God has given you. Oh, I know. He said, I'll give you a land flowing with milk and honey. But there were 31 kings over there that they had to overcome. Oh, he said, God, give it to me. Yeah, when you take it. And every piece of ground you walk on, I'll give it to you. But you've got to walk it out. Praise God. How many of you want to take the kingdom tonight? By subduing the kingdoms of this world. Well, I want to challenge you. Well, glory. How much you like? Oh, hallelujah. I want you to stand, and I want you to get an offering out, and I want you to come. Hallelujah. I believe what I'll do tonight, don't bring no bucket, don't bring no basket. The Bible said they come and brought the offering and laid it at the apostles' feet. I'm going to let you do that and let you receive the blessing and the anointing, amen, that goes with it. Yes. And I impart it unto you, and you can come and lay it down. And let me tell you something. Whatever you give, that's the measure God's going to measure back to you.
Amen.
Now, how much you want to give that back to you, then you measure it out. That's in Luke 6 and verse 38 and 39. You come, and God said, I'll give it back. I'll measure the same measure that you give, I'm going to give to you.
Yes,
that's a challenge God put before you.
Hallelujah.
All right. Now you come and bring your offering and lay it down. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 This is the Lord's doing. And watch God begin. Whoop! Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the name of the Lord. Elamat Sikabo Hokat. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you tonight. We praise you tonight. We are laying down. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, glory.